un organisme propulsé par des bénévoles et avons besoin des mains supplémentaires. Pour faire du bénévolat, en apprendre davantage ou faire un don, consultez la page de Transit Secours Région Montréal, sheltermovers.com/donner-montréal. Vous avez le courage de quitter, nous vous prêtons main forte.
And his mouth stinking. When we ain't chilling up in the bricks in the Shaolin, we chilling out here in Montreal.
On CKUT.
Nobody do it better, dog.
90.3 FM.
Gone.
Good evening and welcome to the October 12th edition of Drama Text. Tonight we have the recordings by two Afro-American poets, Henriette Mullen and Cornelius Eady, both of them taken from the University of California televised series of Lunch Poems. They'll each play for about 30 minutes. And, well, so there it is. We'll begin tonight's show with the work of Cornelius Eady. Here he is.
Since it's April, I always like reading this poem in the beginning of the month, just as a way of sort of like indicating that that we've gotten past winter. This is from Victims of Leia's Dance Craze. It's a dance poem. And when I was writing Victims of Leia's Dance Craze, I had this idea that I was going to write a dance of the season. So there'd be 12 poems for each month. And then I got to April and then realized I had 9 more months to go and stopped. But anyway, April. Suddenly, the legs want a different sort of work. This is because the eyes look out the window and the sight is filled with hope. This is because the eyes look out the window and the street looks a fraction better than the day before. This is what the eyes tell the legs, whose joints become smeared with a fresh sap which would bud if attached to a different limb. The legs want a different sort of work. This is because of the ears hear what they've been waiting for, which cannot be described in words, but makes the heart beat faster, as if one had just found money in the street. The legs want to put on a show for the entire world. The legs want to reclaim their gracefulness. This is because the nose at last finds the right scent and tugs the protesting body onto the dance floor. This is because the hands, stretching out in boredom, accidentally brush against the skirts of the world. I'm going to read a few jazz poems, and then I'm going to close with poems from Brutal Imagination. The later songs of Billie Holiday. Her voice, rough trick of will and breath, erodes out. Even knowing she's beyond all trouble now, it's a worry to listen. The cabaret law, what was it? Gone like spats. Now her trumpet of a throat begins to weed. She works harder to convince these notes to stay, to treat her right. Bessie Smith. I notice an arm crooked out of an open car window in California and dream her sleeve as the car in front of us hugs a curb. Unbidden trick of light, now she briefly returns from wherever things wander, abuse and waves. August breeze cooling sweat off her tuned and haunted skin. Why was I born? A duet between John Coltrane and Kenny Burrell. So why, asks the guitarist and the saxophonist, a genius, a lover, sidesteps the question, blows a kiss instead. Then they both begin to speak like bourbon being poured into a glass at which bar? The eternal one, bathed in the open light of the test pattern, the one where the phone booths are all functional, but so. Better here than your shitty apartment, his, her scent on the bedsheets until wash day, perhaps longer, better here than finding lipstick on a bathroom glass, his brand of cigarette on the dresser. Their melody is the touch you now wish you'd never learned, the caress of fingers and breath that promise honest. What hurts is beautiful. The bruise of the lyric. Photo of Miles Davis at Lenny's on the Turnpike, 1968. New York grows slimmer in his absence. I suppose you could also title this picture of Miles, his lettery squint, the grace in his fingers, a sliver of the stuff you can't get anymore. As the rest of us wonder, what was the name of the driver of that truck? And the rest of us sigh. Death is one hell of a pickpocket. Photo of Dexter Gordon about the solo, 1965. To get the drift of this photo, think of the relationship between the sax and the player's mouth as two halves of an exclamation point. What I mean is, tonight Dex means business, ear, mischief, must tear down the house, and nobody forced you to come here, huh? Did they? Think of a warrior's narrow sense of duty if you want to envision his dark suit, or the way a pool hustler chalks his cue to understand the way Dex's fingers adjust his mouthpiece. What I mean is, Dexter Gordon's about to take that deep breath, the kind Superman took when he was too lazy to waste muscle on the bad guys. A shock of wind, a one hit us, and he could pick them up whenever he chose. Lead Belly. You can actually hear it in his voice. Sometimes the only way to discuss it is to grip a guitar as if it were somebody's throat and pluck. If there were a ship off of this planet, an arc where the blues could show its other face, a street where you could walk, just walk, without dogged air at your heels, at your back, don't you think he'd choose it? Meanwhile, here's the tune. Bad luck, empty pockets, trouble walking your way with his tin ear. Chuck Berry. Hamburger wizard, long loose limb instigator, V8 engine pouring for a storm. The evidence of a tight skirt viewed from the window of a moving city bus. Yelling her name, a spell into the glass. The amazing leap from nobody to stockholder. Look, Ma, no hands, piped through a hot amp. Figure skater on the rim of the invisible class wall. The strength of the dreamer who wakes up, and it's Monday, a week of work, but gets out of bed. The unsung desire of the checkout clerk, the shops of the sleepy backwater town waiting for the kid to make good, the chauffeur home, the twang of the New Jersey turnpike in the wee hours, the myth of the lover as he passes blameless through the walls. The fury hidden in the word, almost. The fury hidden in the word, please. The dream of one's name in lights, of sending the posse on the wrong road, shaking the wounded Indian's hand, a brother. The pulse of a crowd, knowing that the police have pushed in the door, dancing regardless. The frenzy of the word, go! The frenzy of the word, go! The frenzy of the word, go! The spark between the thought of the kiss and receiving the kiss. The tension in these words. You can't dance. The amazing duck walk. The understanding that all it's going to take is one fast song. The triumph in these words. Bye-bye, New Jersey! As if rising from a shallow grave. The shoulder jerk who plots doo-wop songs. The well-intentioned business school student who does what she's told but suspects they're keeping it hid. Mr. Rock and Roll, jump over or get left behind. Mr. Taxes, who me? Money beat, you can't catch me, but they do. A perpetual well of quarters in the pocket, the incalculable hit of energy in the voice of a 16-year-old as her favorite band hits the stage, and 10,000 pair of eyes look for what they're after. More. And 10,000 voices roar for it. More. And a multitude you wouldn't care to count surrounds the joint, waits for their opportunity to break in.
One more.
Alabama, Circular 1963, a ballot by John Coltrane. But shouldn't this state have a song? Long, gliding figures of my breath of breath loss. Somebody can't sing because somebody's gone. Somebody can't sing because somebody's gone. Shouldn't this landscape hold a true anthem? What you can't do, whom you can't invent, where you can't stay, why you won't keep it. But shouldn't this state have a song? And shall we call it My Face Will Murder Me? And shall we call it I'm Not Waiting? And I'm going to close with poems from Brutal Imagination. And the premise of the book, if people don't know the book, it's about the imaginary guy that Susan Smith claimed kidnapped, carnapped her two children, when in fact she had strapped them to the backseat of the family car and rolled the car into the lake in the John D. Long Lake just outside of Union, South Carolina. And for 9 days, people were looking for this guy. And it took 9 days for the authorities to break her story and get her to confess what really happened. And the premise of the book is what would happen if that guy was alive and had been alive for those 9 days and walking around and could talk. What was the story? What would be his story? How I got born. Though it's common belief that Susan Smith wheeled me alive in the moment her babies sank into the lake. When called, I come. My job is to get things done. I am piecemeal. I make my living by taking things. So now a mother needs me clothed in hand-me-downs and a knit cap. Whatever. We arrive, bereaved, on a stranger's step. Baby, they weep. Poor child. My heart. Susan Smith has invented me because nobody else in town will do what she needs me to do. I mean, jump in an idling car and drive off with two sad and frightened kids in the back. Like a bad lover, she has given me a poisoned heart. It pounds both our ribs, black, angry, nothing but business. Since her fear is my blood, and her need part mythical, everything she says about me is true. Who am I? Who are you, mister? One of the boys asks from the eternal backseat, and here is the one good thing. If I am alive, then so briefly are they. Two boys returned, three and one, quiet and scared, bunched together, breathing like small beasts. They can't place me, yet there's something familiar. Though my skin and sex are different. Maybe it's the way I drive, or occasionally glance back with concern. Maybe it's the mixed blessing someone, perhaps circumstance, has given us. The secret thrill of hiding, childish, in plain sight, seen, but not seen, as if suddenly given the power to move through walls, to know every secret without permission. We roll sleepless through the dark streets, but inside, the cab is lit with brutal imagination. Once the the composite drawing of the guy went on the AP wire, people started seeing the guy, and the kids in the car all over the country started calling in sightings of him. Sightings. Few nights ago, man swears he saw me pump gas with the children at a convenience store like a punchline you get the next day, or a kiss in a dream that returns while you're in the middle of doing something else. I left money in his hand. Mr. Blank, who lives in Blank, South Carolina, of average height and a certain weight, who may or may not believe in any of the basic recognized religions, saw me move like an angel in my dusky skin and knit hat. Perhaps I looked him in the eye. Ms. Blank saw a glint of us on which highway, on the street that's close to what landmark? She now recalls the two children in the back appeared to be behaving. Mr. Blank now knows he heard the tires of the car everyone is looking for crunch the gravel as I pulled up in the wee hours at the motel where he works the night desk. I signed or didn't sign the register. I took or didn't take the key from his hand. He looked or forgot to look as I pulled off the park in front of one of the rooms at the back. Did I say I was traveling with kids? Who slept that night in the untouched beds? Where am I? Looking for Michael and Alex means that the bushes have not whispered, that the trees hold only shade, that the lake still insists on being a lake. I flicker from TV to TV. My flyer sits on the grandmother's easy chair. I hover over so many lawns, so many cups of coffee. I pour from lip to lip. The town blossoms in yellow ribbons, sprinkled like breadcrumbs or bait. I crackle from cell phones and shortwave. I am listened for in alleys. Looking for Michael and Alex means each car is scanned at the drive-through windows, that sightings are hoped for at the self-serve pumps. Crooks long for the crook of my arm, reaching for diapers and snacks. So many days I have loped from ear to ear, from beauty parlor to church. They count the days till someone comes back. We've never left. The law. I'm a black man, which means in Susan's case that I pour out of a shadow at a traffic light, but I'm also a mother, which is why she has me promise I won't hurt your kids before I drift down the road. I am a mother, which is why we sing, "Have mercy. Come home." No questions asked. But I'm black, and we both know the law. Who's going to believe that we had no choice but to open that door? Who's going to care that it was now or never, that there was no time to unbuckle them, that it was take the car or leave the car? I'm black, which means I mustn't slow down. I float in forces I can't always control, but I'm also a mother, which is why I hope I'm as good as my word. Composite. I am not the hero of this piece. I am only a stray thought, a solution. But now my face is stuck to lampposts, glued to plate glass. My forehead gets stapled to my hat. I am here and here I am not. I am a door that opens and out walks. No one can help you. Now I gaze straight into your eyes from bulletin boards, tree trunks. I am papered everywhere. A blizzard called. You see what happens? I turn up when least expected. If you decide to buy some milk, if you decide to wash your car, if you decide to mail a letter, I might tumbleweed upon a pant leg. You can stare and stare, but I can't be found. Susan has loosed me on the neighbors, a cold representative, the scariest face you could think of. Then there comes a section where other fictional black characters comment on the story that's happened so far. I'm not going to read all the poems of that section. I'm just going to read one, Uncle Tom in Heaven. My name is Mud. Let's get that out of the way. First, I am not a child. I was made to believe that God kept notes, ran a tab on the blows, so many on one cheek, so many on the other. I watched another black man pour from a white woman's head. I fear he'll live the way I did, a brute, a flimsy ghost of an idea. Both of us groomed to go only so far. That was my duty. I'm well aware of what I've become, a name children use to separate themselves on a playground. Doesn't matter to know I'm someone else's lie. Doesn't help anything to tell you I was built to be a hammer, a war cry. Like him, nobody knew me. But in my prime, I filled the streets, worried into the eardrum, scared up thoughts of laws and guns. How I would love not to be dubious. But I am a question whole races spend their time trying to answer. My author believed in God. And being denied the power to hate her, I watch another black man roam the land, dull in his invented hide. Then we're back to the guy. What I'm made of. Susan fills our hands with plain objects. Key, door handle, steering wheel. But my hands are nothing. A song you can't remember the words to. The button that pops off a vest. A comb that falls out of a pocket or purse. Susan fills my lungs with air. But what do I breathe out? Parchment, ink, low growls. The blank gap between words. Nothing fits upon my back. Nothing actually catches my eye. I am hidden and found. I am north, south, east, west. My dark skin porous. In between. Susan claims my name is muscle, bone, calls me tissue and sinew, fills in my blank with the absence of her boys. But I am water, pebble, silt and gravity, evidence under her nail. Next again. The black man in town, they thought looked like me. Without the dreamed up cap and wardrobe, the police have him now. He sits in a small room. They turn him this way and that. He'll cool there for hours. How do you think he feels? I whisper, "We're innocent," into his ear. He looks so much like me, we could be brothers. Already, folks may have their doubts. He's poor enough. Where has he been? He has his needs. What do they know? Neighbors call him quiet, a new knot of stress on the tongue. It's been a hard week to be black in Union, South Carolina, a black woman tells a reporter. The whites aren't civil. They look at you and then reach over and lock their doors. Now he is it. Susan has lent me his cheekbones, his gait. For a while, he is as close as they'll ever get. Sympathy. The sheriff's too good to be true. He tries to urge Susan and me to part. He trusts a friendly cup of coffee will skim me loose, but we're hard to entangle. I won't be easy. We know his help is poison. He is courting us. We run a cold sweat while he waits. He is too good to be true. I am not for his ears, Susan knows. She tries not to weep. He attempts to lean towards us. We bob together in the god-awful silence. Two more. Confession. There have been days I've almost spilled from her, nearly taken a breath, yanked myself clean. I've trembled her coffee cup. I well under her eyelids. I've been gravel on her mattress. I am not gone. I am going to worm my way out. I have not disappeared. I half slide between her teeth, double her over as she tries not to blurt me out. The closer Susan inches me towards this, the louder the sheriff hears me, bitch. And this is the last poem. It's a duet. First thing you're going to hear is lines that were lifted from Susan Smith's actual handwritten confession, and the response is the imaginary guy. Birthing. When I left my home on October 25th, I was very emotionally distraught. I have yet to breathe. I am in the back of her mind. Not even a notion. A scrabble cloth, the way a man lopes down the street. Later, a black woman will say, we knew exactly who she was describing. At this point, I have no language, no tongue, no mouth. I am not me yet. I am just an understanding. As I rode and rode and rode, I felt even more anxiety. Susan parks on a bridge and stares over the rail. Below her feet, a dark blanket of river. She wants to pull over herself, children and all. I am not the call of the current. She is heartbroken. She gazes down and imagines heaven. I felt I couldn't be a good mom anymore, but I didn't want my children to grow up without a mom. I am not me yet. At the bridge, one of Susan's kids cries, so she drives to the lake, to the boat dock. I am not yet opportunity. I had never felt so lonely and so sad. Who shall be a witness? Bullfrogs? Waterfowl. When I was at John D. Long Lake, I had never felt so scared and unsure. I have yet to be called. Who will notice? Moths, dragonflies, field mice. I wanted to end my life so bad. And I was in my car, ready to go down that ramp into the water. My hand isn't her hand, panicked on the emergency brake. And I did go partway, but I stopped. I am not gravity, the water lapping against the gravel. I went again and stopped. I then got out of the car. Susan stares at the sinking. My muscles aren't her muscles, burned from pushing. The lake has no appetite, but it takes the car slowly, swallow by swallow, like a snake. Why was I feeling this way? Why was everything so bad in my life? Susan stares at the taillights as they slide from here to hidden. I have no answers to these questions. She only has me after she removes our hands from our ears. Thank you.
We've been listening to the work of American poet Cornelius Eady. He was the co-founder of Cave Canem. He's published more than half a dozen volumes of poetry, including Victims of the Latest Dance Craze in 1985, which was winner of the Lamont Poetry Prize from the Academy of American Poets. He also authored The Gathering of My Name in 1991, which was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, and Brutal Imagination, which was a National Book Award finalist. His work was presented at the University of California in their lunchtime poetry series. Coming up, we'll hear the work of American poet Harriet Mullen. Here she is.
Why these blues come from us, threadbare material soils, the original colored, pregnant with heavenly spirit. Stop running from the gift, slow down to catch up with it. Knots mend the string quilt of Kenty stripped when kin split. White covers of black material, dense fabric that obeys its own logic. Shadows piece together tears and all unfurling sheets of bluish music. Burning cloth in a public place, a crime against the state, raised the cost of free expression. Smoke rose to offer a blessing. With all that rope they gave us, we pulled a mule out of the mud, dragging backwoods along in our strong blackward progress. She just laughs at weak-kneed scarecrow as rainbow crow flies over those ornery cornrows. Everlasting arms too short for boxers, leaning, meaning, signifying, say what? Ethiopian breakdown, underbelly tussle. Lose the facts, just keep the hustle. Leave your fine tooth comb at home. If your complexion is a mess, our elixir spells skin success. You'll have appeal, bewitched, be adored, hechizando con crema demo blanqueadora. What we sell is enlightenment, nothing less than beauty itself, since when can be seen in the dark what shines hidden in dirt. Double Dutch darky, take kisses back to Africa. They dipped you in a vat at the wacky chocolate factory. Color we've got in spades. Melanin gives perpetual shade. Though rhythm's no answer to cancer, pancakes pale and butter can get rancid. The essence lady wears her irregular uniform, a pinstripe Kenty syncopation suit. She dreads her hair, sprung from lock down under steel teeth press, gang galleys upstart crow's nest. Eyes lashed, half open, look of lust, bitten lips lick the dusky, wicked-tongued hussy. Am I your type? That latest lurid blurb was all she wrote. Her highbrow pencil broke. Self-made woman gets the hang. It's a stretch. She's overextended, weaving many spindly strands on her heirloom. Walking through the alley all night long, stalked by a shadow, throw the black cat a bone. Step off, bottom woman, when the joint gets jinky. Come blazing the moment the hens get hinky. Raw souls get ready. People rock steady. The brown gals in this town know how to roll the woodpile down. Dry bones in the valley turn over with wonder. Was it to die for our piece of by and by pie chart? Hot water cornbread, fresh water trout, God's plenty, the preacher shouts while the congregation's eating out. Women of honey harmonies offer alfalfa, wildflower, buckwheat, and clover to feed Oshun, who has sweet teeth and is pleased to accept their gift. These mounts that heaven touched, saints sleep in their beds. Distress is hushed by dream when they allow the bird to lift their heads. Ain't your fancy handsome gal, feet's too big, my hair don't twirl. From hunger call on the telephone, asking my oven for some warm jelly roll. If I can't have love, I'll take sunshine. If I'm too plain for champagne, I'll go float on red wine. What you can do is what women do. I know you know what I mean, don't you? arrives early for the date to tell him she's late. He watches her bio clock balk on CP time, pedals out of rhythm, docked for trick crimes, flunked the pregnancy test, missed time space probe, she aborted, legally blind justice, she miscarried, scorched and salted earth, she's barren. When Aunt Heggie's cheering throws an all originals ball, the souls ain't got a stray word for the woman who's wayward. Dead to the world, let earth receive her peace. Let every dark room repair her heart. Let nature and heaven give her release. Marietta Hotel, annulum. Nary hep male rose sullen. Let Allie roam, yell melon. Dull, normal fellow hammers omelet. Divine sunrises, Osiris's irises. His splendid mistress is his sis Isis. Creole coco loca, crayon gumbo boca. Crayfish, Crayola, jumbo, mocha, cola, warp made fresh, fetish, coquettish, avoid your leers at X-rated reels. We believed her. Old story she told. The men nodded at her face, dismissing her case. Debit to your race, no better for you. Lost, gone off, demented, throwing uneven-handed, disappeared, undocumented, workhorse, homeless, underclass, breeder, dissident, pink-collared criminal, terminal deviant, indigent, slut, riveted, nailed to the table, crumpled, muddied dream, stapled in her face, mapped, folded back, to the other side of the facts that her body bleeds is no surprise. A fragment bursts and color seeps through her camouflage, bannered behind her, braid unfurled, extended, she lean, aiming, breaking the ribbon. Kink, conk, crisp, crinkle, my monkey's off his head. He wears my hat. That helps me think a little. Zipped into high-tech overalls, suited to her lightfoot boots, kicking her heels up and away beyond her. So that was just a little sample from Muse and Drudge. Since I've got them with me, I think I'll read a little bit of Trimmings in Supermarket also. So I'll start with little trimmings. Becoming for a song. A belt becomes such a small waist. Snakes around her wrapping. Add waist to any figure. Subtract, divide. Accessories multiply a look. Just the thing. A handy belt suggests embrace, sucks her in. She buckles, smiles, tighter, quick to spot a bulge below the belt. Lips clasped together, old leather fastened with a little snap, strapped, broke, quick snatch in a clutch, chase the lady with the alligator purse. Green thief off relief, got into her pocketbook by hook or crook. Tender white kid, off-white tan, snug black leather, second skin, fits like a love, an uttered, bag of tricks, slight hand preserved, a dainty, a solid color covers, while rubber is protection, tight is tender, softness cured, alive and warm, some animal hides, ghosts wear fingers, delicate wrists, Her red and white and blue, banner, manner, her red and white all over, black and blue, Hannah's bandana flagging her down in the kitchen with Dinah, with Jemima, someone in the kitchen I know. A light, white, disgraceful sugar looks pink, wears an air, pale compared to shadow standing by, to plump recliner. Naked truth lies behind her shadow, wears her color, arms full of flowers. A rosy charm is pink, and she is ink. The mistress wears no petticoat or leaves, the other in shadow, a large pink dress. Garters, garnish, daughters, partner, what mothers, they gather, they tether. In folds of chase petticoats, chupa mirtos, in a red sack with a silk ribbon, hummingbird whose tongue is sweet, charm for love, a captive beat, a flutter, hidden under ruffles, secret heart, a red pouch tied with silk. Releases from valises, scientific briefs, chemist model molecular shadows, structure mimic dancers, shirt on the line, a flapper shimmy shake in a silk chemise, a shift, a woman's movement, a loose garment of man-made fabric, poly and ester, living modern with better chemistry. Of a girl in white between the lines in the spaces where nothing is written, her starched petticoats giving him the slip, loose lips a telltale spot where she was kissed and told. Who would believe her, lying still between the sheets, the pillowcases, the dirty laundry laundered, pillow talk show on a leather couch, slips in and out of dreams, without permission, slips out the door, a name adores a Freudian slip. In feathers, in bananas, in her own skin, intelligent body attached to a gaze, stripped down model posing for a savage art, brought color to a primitive stage. She busy bodice with fancy work got filigreed and gold, then plumed themselves in fancy dress and knit their brows to clothe the naked. For frills, fancy crimps and shaves, cuts, curls, frail frounce, smiles, curtsies, now only of women, flexing a fondness, plain as a broad, steaming a wrinkle, takes out the starch, frilled up to here, she starts sleeking, flat, flatter, flatterer. A fish caught, pretty fish, wiggles for a while. A caught fish squirms. A freshly licked fish sighs, gapes with holes for eyes. A wiggling fish flashes its display, a pattern over whiteness. Bareness comes with coverage for peeking through holes to see flesh out of water. Cold holes where eyes go. The sea is cold, her body of foam, some frothy Venus or strayed mermaid, tail split, bleeds into the sea, with brand new feet, walks unsteady on land, each step an ache. So that was a bit of trimmings, a little bit of... Okay, this is a little bit of a supermarket or sperm kit or S perm kit. You know, there's this, if you want your hair to be S instead of Z, I have Z hair. But they can make it S, you know. They have a kit for that, too. All right. With eternal welcome mats, omniscient doors swing open, offering temptation, redemption, thrilling confessions. The state of grace is Monaco, a shrine in Memphis, colossal savings, a single serving after work lives. In sanctuaries of the sublime, subliminal Mobius soundtrack, backs spatial memories, radiant stations of the cross. When you see it, you remember what you came for. Okay. Just add water. That homespun incantation activates potent powders, alchemical concentrates, jars and boxes of abracadabra. Bottled water works, trickling down a rainy day watering can, reconstitute the shrinking dollar, a greenback garnered from a tree. At $2, one tender legal portrait of St. No Nick's stands in for clean-shaven, defunct cherry chopper. Check out this week's seasonal electric reindeer Luz de Vela Virgin Mary markdowns. Choose from 10 brands, clearly miracle H2O, pure genius in a bottle, not municipal precipitate you pay to tap, but dear rain, fresh capped at spring, cleaner than North Pole snow or Commander-in-Chief's hard-boiled white collars, purer than pale saint's flow of holy beard or drops distilled from sterile virgin tears. Aren't you glad you use petroleum? Don't wait to be told you explode. You're not fully here until you're over there. Never let them see you eat. You might be taken for a zoo. Raise your hand if you're sure you're not. Bad germs get zapped by secret agents in formulaic new improved scientific solutions. Ivory says pure enough. And snowflakes be white enough to do the dirty work. Step and fetch laundry tumbles out, shuffling into sorted colored stacks. That black grape of underwear fame denies paternity of claymate raisinettes. And now he's happy to be a father. Swinging burgers do a soft shoe, gringo derbies tipping Latina banana, some giggling lump of dough, an infantile chef smiles animatedly at his fresh little sis. They never gets a tan in the hot, warming, easy bake oven because they is eternal raw ingredients for programmed, microwavering, half-baked expressions of family love. Flies in buttermilk, what a fellowship. That's why white milk makes yellow butter. Homo means the same, a woman is different. Cream always rises over split milk. Muscle men drink it all in. Awesome teeth and wholesale bones. Our cows are well adjusted. The Lost Family Album keeps saying cheese. Speed readers skim the white spaces of this gallery. And so that leaves Sleeping with the Dictionary. We'll read some from here. We'll read The Anthropic Principle. The Pope of Cosmology addresses a convention. When he talks, the whole atmosphere changes. He speaks through a computer. When he asks, "Can you hear me?" the whole audience says, "Yes." It's a science locked up in a philosophical debate. There are a few different theories. There could be many different realities. You might say ours exists because we do. You could take a few pounds of matter, heat it to an ungodly temperature, or the universe was a freak accident. There may be a limit to our arrogance, but one day the laws of physics will read like a detailed instruction manual. A plane that took off from its hub in my hometown just crashed in the president's hometown. The news anchor says the pilot is among the dead. I was hoping for news of the president's foreign affair with a diplomat's wife. I felt a mystical connection to the number of confirmed dead whose names were not released, like the time I was three handshakes from the president, like when I thought I heard that humanitarians dropped a smart blonde on the Chinese embassy, like when the cable was severed and chairs fell from the sky because the pilot flew with rusty maps. What sane pilot would land in that severe rain with hard hail and gale force wind, with no signal of distress, with no foghorns to warn the civilians? The pilot lost our moral compass in the bloody quagmire of collateral damage. One theory says it's just a freak accident locked up in a philosophical debate. It's like playing poker and all the cards are wild, like the arcane analysis of a black box full of insinuations of error. I'm going to read poem that I wrote for a friend who was visiting Los Angeles from Japan. It's called Suzuki Method. We went to see the Watts Towers, which are, I mean, when Simon Rodia built them, he built them, he didn't call them the Watts Towers, he called them the ships of Marco Polo. So, which is all kind of very far in the background of this poem. El Nino brought a typhoon of tom-toms from Tokyo, where a thrilling instrument makes an okay toy. Tiny violins are shrill. Their shrieks are musical mice. The color of a mechanical clock is lost in translation. Whatever you're trying to tell me sounds like the straight teeth of rodents. My dreams throw the book at the varmint. We both shudder as the dictionary thuds. You got to admit, our Esperanto's hopeless. Your virgin is unfaithful. My savory hero boards the ship of Marco Polo, loaded with soy from Ohio. Going to read this little generic fairy tale. It's called Once Ever After. And I think it was first published by Kevin Killian and Dodie Bellamy in San Francisco. It's kind of give the props. There was this princess who wet the bed through many mattresses. She was so attuned, she neither conversed with magical beasts nor watched her mother turn into a stairwell or a stoop. Her lips were, her hair was, her complexion was, her beauty or her just appearance, what she wore. She was born on a chessboard with parents and siblings all royal. Was there a witch? Was she enchanted or drugged? When did she decide to sleep? Dreaming a knight in armor, she thought it meant jousting. His kind attack with streamers. A frog would croak. A heart would cough after only one bite. Something was red. There was wet and there was weather. She couldn't make it gold without his name. Her night shifts in the textile mill, she forgot she was a changeling peasant girl. Spinning, she got pricked. That's where roses fell and all but one fairy wept. It remains that she be buried alive, knowing that a kiss is smaller than a delayed hunger. And let's see, I'm going to read a couple more, and I think then it'll be more or less time for me to sit down. Okay. We are not responsible for your lost or stolen relatives. We cannot guarantee your safety if you disobey our instructions. We do not endorse the causes or claims of people begging for handouts. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. Your ticket does not guarantee that we will honor your reservations. In order to facilitate our procedures, please limit your carrying on. before taking off. Before taking off, please extinguish all smoldering resentments. If you cannot understand English, you will be moved out of the way. In the event of a loss, you'd better look out for yourself. Your insurance was canceled because we can no longer handle your frightful claims. Our handlers lost your luggage, and we are unable to find the key to your legal case. You were detained for interrogation because you fit the profile. You are not presumed to be innocent if the police have reason to suspect you are carrying a concealed wallet. It's not our fault. You were born wearing a gang color. It is not our obligation to inform you of your rights. Step aside, please, while our officer inspects your bad attitude. You have no rights that we are bound to respect. Please remain calm, or we can't be held responsible for what happens to you. And I'm going to end with the title poem, Sleeping with the Dictionary, which does happen. I beg to dicker with my silver-tongued companion, whose lips are ready to read my shining gloss. A versatile partner, conversant and well-versed in the verbal art, the dictionary is not averse to the solitary habits of the curiously wide-awake reader. In the dark night's insomnia, the book is a stimulating sedative, awakening my tired imagination to the hypnagogic trance of language, retiring to the canopy of the bedroom, turning on the bedside light, taking the big dictionary to bed, clutching the unabridged bulk, heavy with the weight of all the meanings between these covers, smoothing the thin sheets thick with accented syllables, all are exercises in the conscious regimen of dreamers who toss words on their tongues while turning illuminated pages to go through all these motions and procedures, groping in the dark for an alluring word is the poet's nocturnal mission. Aroused by myriad possibilities, we try out the most perverse positions in the practice of our nightly act, the penetration of the denotative body of the work. Any exit from the logic of language might be an entry in a symptomatic dictionary. The alphabetical order of this ample block of knowledge might render a dense lexicon of lucid hallucinations. Beside the bed, a pad lies open to record the meandering of migratory words. In the rapid eye movement of the poet's night vision, this dictum can be decoded like the secret acrostic of a lover's name. Thank you all very much.
So you've been listening to the work of American poet Harriet Mullen. She's a poet and professor of English at the University of California at Los Angeles, where she teaches creative writing and African American literature. Her collections of poetry include Sleeping with the Dictionary, Recyclopedia, and Urban Tumbleweed, Notes from a Tank, a diary published in 2012. You've been listening to CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial. We'll be back next week with another hour-long presentation of the spoken word. Till next week.
Êtes-vous locataire à Montréal? Avez-vous des questions sur vos droits? Votre comité logement peut vous aider. Pour trouver le comité logement pour votre quartier ou pour plus de ressources, visitez le www.rclalq.qc.ca.
From 88 megahertz up to 108.
You've got this frequency. We're going to call you CKUT. You've got this frequency, 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Very impressive.
You can sit on the road and go talk to CKUT.
Audacieux qui renouvelle le langage du cinéma.
Pour un accès privilégié aux visions les plus stimulantes et diversifiées du cinéma documentaire, les RIDM sont le festival à ne pas manquer.
Ça se passe du 15 au 26 novembre à Montréal.
Rendez-vous au ridm.ca pour tout savoir sur la programmation.
Les rencontres internationales du documentaire de Montréal. Là où toutes les histoires se rencontrent.
Hindi, Spanish, Norwegian, and Mixteco. Orquesta Criminal, 10-piece of improv performers interpreting inspired renditions of adventurous gangster songs from a dangerous and forgotten era. Monday, October 16th at The Ritz. Orquesta Criminal with special guests Dumai Dunai. Tickets $15 in advance at bluesskies.turnblack.com. $20 at the door. Doors at 7:30. A co-presentation of CKUT.
You are listening to Chipola Mudstone on CKUT 90.3 FM.